Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, Jeff, noted author. Jeff, you can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, as well as totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report's his daily show down there. The Iowa Politics Report as well comes to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
Belated happy anniversary, Matthew.
Oh, that's right, the show. Yeah, this thing.
I'm looking at my AM 950 2022 calendar,
yes.
And it's yesterday, 12 years ago? Really?
Yeah.
12 years ago was your first program on AM 950. So congrats.
Well, it is. First of all, that kind of timeline doesn't even exist anymore for most people, which I'm kind of grateful for. I've been able to be here, that's for sure. I mean, I mean, nothing like bribery to keep you into a position that you want to hold on to. But
well, you should know.
Well,
you know, the photo file you have is extensive. Kudos.
But thank you. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute privilege, and I love doing this show. So hopefully here's the beginning of another 12 years, much to the groans and behest of Brett and the rest of the producers. But hey, you know.
Hey, jobs are hard to come by. They are going to hold on. You can do whatever you want, because what are they going to do?
Wait, no, I got to call you out here a second. Our Minnesota Crows soccer team. You're down there saying no one cares about soccer. They're playing in Des Moines, so there's got to be a soccer team down in Des Moines that's playing, or else is it just like a neutral field sort of thing?
No, this is a cornhole state. Thank you very much.
I don't really. I mean, don't ask, don't tell. So,
you do know this is of no importance, but I'm going to share it anyway. There are three professional cornhole league. I prefer the phrase bags, but okay. I mean, it's like we were sponsoring an American Cornhole League regional tournament, and we had to make sure. Now, this is the Cornhole League, not the Cornhole Association. They're two very. It's like you're just throwing bags, guys. But apparently, they take it seriously, and they have enough logos on their jerseys to look like a NASCAR driver. So, who am I to complain?
Well, I mean, I always look at cornhole as kind of, you know, if you're can't be trusted with horseshoes, you know, that you're clunking yourself in the head. Let's give them a soft bag. We'll see if that works. And there you go.
That's a great slogan. Cornhole for those who can't be trusted with sharp, heavy objects.
With horseshoes. Yeah, that's what it's.
It's like this show. For those who can't be trusted with heavy metal objects. It's the Matt McNeil Show.
Well, it's, yeah, you know, do you like fumes? All right, so Judge Brown Jackson.
Yeah, great transition.
Yeah, speaking of gas, let's talk about the Republicans. What? I mean, my God. I mean, I get it. The world that we live in today is go on out there. We have a shockingly small percentage of the population in this country that shows up to vote most of the time. So
right.
they know that they can pander. They're like Tucker Carlson, who has like 7 million viewers a night in a country of 330 million. He just panders to a very specific set of people. They're pandering to a very specific set of people that basically want to watch a white person dress down a black person. And that's really what we're looking at here. And it's disturbing, and it's every QAnon conspiracy theory. It's just basically throwing red meat out there, hoping that they get the Hannity, you know, bump, because Hannity put some on and say, here was a great moment when this person made a complete ass of themselves on TV. No one's going to stop this. You brought this point up when that seat came open, is that there only an absolute idiot would get in the way of this thing. And, you know, what we're treated to now is just we know she's going to pass, but we're just going to make sure that all the certain people know exactly where we stand on this judge.
Without saying that I agree with every one of those assertions, here's where I will go. We know how this is going to end. We know that she will get, I would say, at least 54 votes.
Yes.
That's all 50 Democrats. And then Romney, Murkowski, Collins, and probably Lindsey Graham.
Sass too. I think Nebraska.
That's fair. Well, so again, you're not going to get 60, but you don't need 60. You need 50. And there will be at least four, maybe five, maybe six Republicans who will go along. You may actually, now that I think about it, you may get close to 60 with especially vulnerable Republicans up for reelection who don't want to be seen as voting against a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every Republican, and I've not followed this very closely, for a number of reasons. Primarily, I have a job. Okay, so I haven't been watching very closely, but here's what it appears to me. You have, I believe, four individuals on the Judiciary Committee who have been more strident in their questioning. That would be Cruz, Hawley, Blackburn, and Graham.
I'm surprised Blackburn hasn't asked to speak to her manager yet. My God.
Well, but here's the thing, the thread that ties all of them together. They all have 2024 aspirations. Cruz has already run. Yes, he'd love to be on the Supreme Court, but if not that, he hasn't given up running for president. Graham ran for president previously. He obviously thinks he can still do it. Hawley has all sorts of aspirations beyond book contracts. And Blackburn has booked speaking appearances in New Hampshire and in Iowa this spring. So whether it is for the immediate 2024 top spot, unlikely for any of those four, but maybe it's the number two spot. Who knows? All right. So the point is, the attack dogs are the ones who have an agenda. And it's very clearly that national agenda. The one that says, I want to run for something else, so I'm trying to amp up my visibility. This pick is not going to fail. It is not going to change the balance of the court. And so I think you have many Republicans saying, let's ask very specific questions that we know we're not going to get answers on, and let's just move along, because this is not the battle to pick. But if you've got a different agenda like those four, then as far as you're concerned, anything goes, including yelling at the chairman, I don't care how many times you bang that gavel. Okay, that's lovely. That's very sweet stuff. Did you see that Ted Cruz did that?
Oh.
Where he ran out of time, he was still berating the witness, the chair, Durbin, was banging the gavel, you know, to bring order, and, you know, oh, you can just bang that as loud as you want. Okay, Tex, you know, that's nice.
Here's the deal. And by the way, those four, Hawley, Cruz, Blackburn, and Graham, they have no chance. And I'm dead serious when I say this. I understand you and I talk about, well, it comes down to one person versus one person. Hawley and Cruz will actually bring out such an anti-vote against them that it will be a disaster for the Republicans. Blackburn, the last thing she wants is people actually start looking at her record, for goodness sakes. And then, yeah. And Graham, you know, he's just so he has a lot of explaining to do about Trump, and I, you know, he doesn't seem to have answers for anything. So I mean, it's all a joke there. I'm going to read. This is Ben Sasse.
But keep in mind, no, I agree. None of the four has a chance, even as the number two. And notice, Graham's one of the pit bulls, but I said he's going to wind up voting for her because he's been all over the board. But the point is, they think they have those realistic aspirations. And no, but you're right. None of this is going to work. Certainly not. But go ahead, Ben Sasse.
Well, I should mention, we also talked about the state breakdown. You know, Graham is going to need Graham. You know, he's in South Carolina. He has to appeal to the black vote. And I think that him voting for Jackson will help there. But I tells you a lot about Cruz and Blackburn and Hawley. This is Scott McFarland from CBS over in D.C. He put this out there. This is the quote. This is a Ben Sasse from Nebraska. This is the Republican, mind you. We should recognize jackassery we often see around here is partly because people mugging for short-term camera opportunities. Are we sure he's still a Republican at this point? Because that is a pretty outrageous smackdown on the clown car charade that's going on around him within his own party.
Well, it is true. But as I said, there are many Republicans who are basically saying this is not and I hate using phrases like this, this is not the hill to die on, right? This is not it makes no difference. It is all light and no heat. And when you have people in Ukraine, you know, running for cover and, you know, everything else in the world, this just may not be. You have to go through the questioning, I guess. But this is the thing to understand, right? In your and my lifetime, mine is longer than yours, but we're in the same ballpark. Mm-hmm. Can you remember a non-contentious Supreme Court nomination hearing? And the answer is really no. For the last 40-some years, they've been just train wrecks in one respect or another. Some of the time, the questions are meritorious. Often, it's just a matter of it being a stunt, a C-SPAN show kind of thing, which is now writ large with the internet. And so the concept of these hearings, we are now so far, Matt, from what they were supposed to do. As far as I'm concerned, get rid of them altogether. Mm-hmm. You're not learning anything other than the fact that the nominee can sit there for 13 hours at a time with very few bathroom breaks. Well, hallelujah. That's not a prerequisite to be a U.S. Supreme Court justice.
I think a lot of people got to the end of this was what happened in the last 6 years, where the Republicans prevented Obama. They made up a rule to prevent Obama from seating a Supreme Court justice. And then when faced with the exact same scenario, frantically scrambled to seat a justice against their own arguments they made. And I think I agree with you. I think that the last 40 years, if the party of the president will praise the nominee, the party who's not the president will attack them. And that's just in both sides. That's the way this goes. But I think it's when it became so obvious that one side was trying to fix the game in this whole process. I agree. But, I mean, they're not going to change it. Let's just be honest. They're not going to change it. I will say this. Jackson is doing an absolutely fantastic job of defending herself. And she is, first of all, one of the most qualified judges. I think someone said to me she's the most qualified judge in the last 100 years to be nominated for the Supreme Court, considering her resume. That being said, I mean, she does do very good when these people are like, when Cruz is out there talking about, here's a child's book that apparently she read in college, about these sort of things. And, she's like, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that book. I mean, she's doing a very good job. And all the Supreme Court justices, she's doing a very good job.
She's on the board of a school and that book is in the school. Think about any school board. Do they know the exact curriculum K-12? No. Who would expect that? So to say, well, you're on that school board, why don't you know? Come on. I don't think Ted knows what's in his kids' book bags either, to be real honest about it. All right. So what it shows you is, and I've told you this before, I have problems with the president having parameters around the selection. I just have problems with that. I don't have a problem with this nominee in terms of her background, everything else. Okay. So, but put all that part aside. Look at the things that have been brought up during this hearing. If that is the best you've got, then in pre-1980, let's say, times, this would be a 95-5 nominee who would be approved by that kind of a vote. Right? I mean, if the best that you can bring up is you're a board member of a school and this is a book in the curriculum, what do you have to say for yourself? That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a judge, if a judge is handing down sentences that deviate from federal guidelines, they're supposed to establish a rationale. And if, in fact, the rules for those sentencing guidelines are bad and the guidelines need to be changed, that is something that Congress should be doing. What she really ought to do is to say, why didn't you change these guidelines? Because the reality is...
Oh, she did, though. Didn't she do that, though? Didn't she kind of like, I can't... The sentencing, the Congress, that's the Congress's job. And she kind of threw it back at Howley was saying that, I think.
No, and that's fair. And that's fair because... Now, I, as a purist, I would say if the guidelines are the guidelines, she should not deviate from them. However, again, if that's the best you've got, and the members of Congress are sitting there saying, well, yeah, we know that these laws are bad, but we're not changing them, so you still have to follow them. That's the best you have? Okay, great. Let's just adjourn for milk and cookies.
I also do want to bring up, the ugly side, and this is Tucker Carlson, who does speak to a lot of Republicans. The racism of him immediately bringing up, where's her SAT score? And you're like, really? This is, another, where's your birth certificate sort of thing. I'm sorry. I get so damn tired of just the blatant racism. They're not even trying to hide anymore. And people trying to make the argument, oh, it's just a legitimate question. He's just asking. No, it's just, it's racism. And I'm getting real tired of seeing the racism fly as freely as it does on the right at this point.
I'm not a Carlson fan, so I'm not going to defend anything. Because I'm just not familiar with what he does even say. All right. But in terms of,
lots of grunting.
welcome to getting up every morning. But, the idea is that we're supposed to look at a nominee's credentials, fundamental credentials, and judicial temperament. Mm-hmm. And by temperament, we also include what is your viewpoint of the Constitution? This is a very valid conversation to have in polite society. Do you believe the Constitution should be interpreted very broadly or more narrowly? That is a very good conversation to have between intelligent people. And you can have those conversations, agree to disagree, and that's how you interpret the law. What's your mindset with regard to the law? But a test that you took when you were 17, you already got in, you got the college degree. It's kind of like, once you get your college degree, do we really ask after your first job what your grade point is? And I don't think anymore we even ask about grade point.
Exactly.
The idea is you got the diploma, all right? We have confidentiality rules to where they're not even supposed to release the roster of who had the highest score in law school. It used to be top of your class, et cetera. Well, there are some confidentiality laws, because if you tell me, or if you learn that you're number six, and then you tell me that, and then I realize, wait a minute, I'm number 10. Okay, we've blown the whole idea of grade confidentiality, so they don't even give that anymore. So what's the relevance? To me, the relevance is, what did she put down in these rulings? And by the way, I don't want to hear a thing about argument she made in court on behalf of defendants. Any lawyer who raises their right hand to take the oath promises, swears, to zealously defend and represent clients. And if you're going to criticize her for clients she was assigned and criticize her for zealously representing them, then the entire legal system is out the door. So just shut up about that stuff.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll change it up when we come back. I want to talk about the Utah governor, because he made a pretty big statement that's kind of deflating a lot of what's been driving the Republican time wheel right now. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us here to talk about the latest things. Now, I want to bring up, so right now in Republican legislators across the country, they're bringing up these bills that basically say, very specifically, transgender women cannot compete in sports for women, because they are saying it's just a dude dressed up as a chick. And that's kind of their entire argument. It's being fueled by, to my knowledge, the first time a transgender woman won an NCAA competition, which I believe was a race in a national championship. That transgender athlete finished fifth in another race, and once again, this is a very rarity. I think that someone told me there's only like 25 or 26 Division I athletes nationwide that would qualify this for. So this is a very small bill, as amount of people this would apply to. And this just basically is something that's being pushed as we're just trying to protect women. Oh, really? Let's pay them equally. Let's not talk about that right now. But that being said, there was a bill in Utah. Cox is the governor out there. He said this. He wrote a letter here, and I want to, because he kind of single-handedly just blew up this issue for the Republicans. He said, first of all, that this lawsuits would likely bankrupt the Utah High School Athletic Association and result in millions of dollars of legal fees for local school districts. But then he came back and he said this statement, and this is, once again, they're very religious people in Utah, and this is a very, sounds like something that would be said from the pulpit, really. Rarely has so much fear and anger been directed at so few. And that really, I think he put that line in there to basically tell the Utah legislature, don't bring this to my attention again, and kind of call out this whole thought. Your thoughts on this whole issue going on right now?
This is a tremendously difficult issue, without any question, all right? Because the number of people who can actually articulate what it is like, it's a very small group of people. And I'm talking about those who are transgender. Right. You don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like. I have no idea. I see numbers that talk about high rates of suicide. I see all of those kinds of things. Above all, human beings are human beings and all should be treated with respect. Let's just start with that. The statement by the governor, yes, does everything you just said. But he also acknowledges that his veto will be overridden. And I have to wonder if he would have been as strident in his message if it would have been a closer call. In other words, he can take the stand because it's going to become law anyway. The one thing that he does say that I think is very important, just because we have a societal issue, Matt, does not mean we have to run and pass a law in favor of or against it. Maybe instead of a reactionary, let's go pass a law, there we fixed a problem, maybe we should actually try to understand the issue and understand where this is all coming from, other than a position of, well, here, let's go do something on behalf of women. When, as you say, there are many other issues where people in legislatures aren't just rushing up there to do something.
Exactly.
Where, to your point, where's the equal pay law?
Well, exactly. And can I point the argument that is made by the people that are pushing these bills makes it seem like the only people are winning national championships in any collegiate sport are transgender women. And that is just not true. It's a rarity, but they act as if this is a crisis.
Well, the other thing is you get a sense from some people that it's like, you know, dudes are just going to put it on skirts to win. And that's a South Park episode. I don't know that that's reality. And that's something I think needs to be explained a little deeper.
Yeah, indeed. Excellent point, by the way, there on the last one. We'll spotlight this interview. Find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. And the Iowa Politics Report will post later. Thanks, Jeff. Hour two up next.